Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, February 19th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi, and here are our top stories this evening. The situation is tense but calm in Harare, where war veterans clashed yesterday with police. This comes at a time when a ZANU-PF youth leader is accusing the media of funding factionalism in the ruling ZANU-PF party.
You enjoy very much to denigrate the leadership of ZANU-PF. You enjoy so much to say bad things about our president, about our two vice presidents, about the first lady and other leaders of ZANU-PF. As Youth League, we are not happy.
President Robert Mugabe's lavish 92nd birthday party set to go ahead despite serious public criticism.
So it would have been better to use that money, for example, to invest in an institution that can at least equip Zimbabweans with basic living skills or life-saving skills.
And opposition People's Democratic Party leader Tendai Biti says the recent high-charged rally addressed by First Lady Grace Mugabe was a turning point for Zimbabwe.
What happened in Chiweshe on Friday was a defining point. It marked the apex of what some of us have always been saying, that only the chaos scenario will manifest in this country. A chaos scenario that will lead to eventual implosion.
Please do stand by for these stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The situation is tense but calm in Harare, where war veterans clashed yesterday with police. Now, the youth wing of the ruling ZANU-PF party is accusing the media of escalating internal fights within the party, which is facing an internal strife over the succession of President Robert Mugabe. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Addressing a news conference at the ZANU-PF headquarters in Harare, the national secretary of the party's youth league, Pupurai Togarepi, castigated the media for allegedly fanning factionalism in ZANU-PF. Over the past month, ZANU-PF officials belonging to a group linked to Tim Lacoste, a ZANU-PF faction allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, and Generation 40, or G40, another faction reportedly linked to First Lady Grace Mugabe, have been trading barbs over President Robert Mugabe's unresolved succession question. Togarepi said the media is being irresponsible in its coverage of the goings-on in ZANU-PF.
You enjoy very much to denigrate the leadership of ZANU-PF. You enjoy so much to say bad things about our president, about our two vice presidents, about the first lady and other leaders of ZANU-PF. As Youth League, we are not happy. We are very, very unhappy. And anybody, anyway, whether the person is in ZANU-PF or is outside ZANU-PF, must not insult our leadership.
Togarepi's criticism of the media comes in the wake of threats issued by his deputy Kudzai Chipanga early this week, in which he warned that the ZANU-PF Youth League would march to the state-controlled Herald newspaper's offices over its so-called lopsided coverage of the ruling party's internal squabbles. The Herald is allegedly siding with Mnangagwa's group in the battle to succeed Mr. Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe for more than 35 years. Zimbabwe newspaper's bosses were not immediately available for comment. War veterans, allegedly supporting the Vice President ZANU-PF faction, had running battles with the police in Harare yesterday. The situation appeared to be calm but tense in Harare today, with a heavy police presence still visible in the capital city. Several reporters in Harare criticized Togarepi's remarks. One such journalist is editor of the Observer newspaper, Barnabas Tondlana, who says Togarepi's utterances undermine the freedom of the press in the country.
I think that's a very, very misguided statement, because as the media, we are the eyes and ears of society. So whatever is happening in society, in political parties, in churches, in football, wherever, we actually report on it. And there's no way anybody, anywhere living or dead, can stop us from reporting what's happening in political parties.
Mr. Mugabe, who turns 92 on Sunday, has reportedly cancelled his traditional annual interviews ahead of his birthday on February 21st. His spokesperson, George Aramba, who is embroiled in ZANU-PF succession fights, is quoted in the state media saying Mr. Mugabe had pressing commitments and would conduct the interviews after the celebrations. But sources in ZANU-PF said Mr. Mugabe is trying behind the scenes to deal with the widening internal rifts in his party. At the same time, a group of war veterans led by Chris Muchangwa that was assaulted by police yesterday for allegedly holding an unsanctioned meeting regrouped in Harare today to discuss issues affecting their association as well as the ZANU-PF in-house squabbles. General Secretary of the Muchangwa-led faction of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, Victor Matema Danda, said they were still in a meeting at the time of going to air. Meanwhile, Togarepi said his wing was happy with its preparations for President Robert Mugabe's 92nd birthday celebrations set for Great Zimbabwe in Mashingo Province. He refuted reports suggesting that organizers of the $800,000 bash were forcing villagers in the drought-stricken Mashingo Province to fork out money towards the function.
I'll tell you that 90% of the people who contribute to our logistics are Zimbabweans who come on their own volition, some of whom we don't even consult or approach for assistance. They just come because they appreciate what the president has done to them. And there is no need for us to go to anybody to say, but in any case, if people are going to come to a certain place, even church people, they can even ask each other and say, can we have a dollar so that after church service, we have drinks.
He added that organizers of the president's annual birthday celebrations were not concerned about the starvation being faced by the people in Mashingo, saying those were two different issues.
We are celebrating the life of a person that has brought so much good to his country. And these problems are not unique to Zimbabwe. Drought is not unique to Zimbabwe. The whole of Southern Africa, it is drought as we speak. Are they not celebrating the lives of their heroes?
Mashingo Province is one of the areas seriously affected by the El Nino-induced drought. Some villagers affected by the famine have called on the organizers of the 21st February movement celebrations to channel the resources set to be splashed at Mr. Mugabe's birthday bash towards averting hunger in the countryside. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, President Mugabe tonight, a few minutes ago, addressed the nation in an impromptu State of the Nation address where he apologized to the Liberation War veterans who were assaulted and tear-gassed by the police. However, Mugabe said the war vets were to blame for the unsanctioned meeting that was yesterday disrupted by the police. He castigated those who are taking sides in the battle to succeed him. Mugabe mentioned by name the two factions that are battling, one called the Coste Group and the other one called G40. Meanwhile, President Mugabe, who turns 92 within the next few days, is expected to hold a lavish $800,000 birthday bash next week in the impoverished Mashingo region, hard hit by a devastating drought. His critics say such annual birthday events do not benefit Zimbabweans. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports from the provincial capital.
Mashingo inhabitants generally agree that the president should channel funds for marking his birthday towards income-generating projects and others meant to empower citizens so they can be self-sufficient. They say lavish birthday parties are a waste of funds, especially in a nation facing serious social and economic problems. Some argue that Mr. Mugabe should set up a school of politics or a Zimbabwe Development Fund to cater for various needs of the people instead of spending huge amounts of money on annual lavish birthday parties. At the same time, they believe that it is strange for him to throw a lavish birthday bash in Mashingo Province, currently hit by one of the worst droughts in living memory. Emmanuel Mutongi of Sese Communal Lands in Chiri says Mr. Mugabe's birthday parties are irrelevant, valueless to Zimbabweans.
considering the current challenges that we are facing as Zimbabweans, to have those birthday running year in, year out, spending a lot of money, I think money should channel in the development of the country. For example, here in Mashingo, where they are planning to spend another huge money in one day, I think they should use the money in repairing the Mashingo Bedbridge Road, which is very in a deplorable state.
Some residents and analysts say Mr. Mugabe has been wasting tons of dollars over the years, celebrating his birthday every February 21st at the expense of suffering masses. Takawafira Joe, president of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, PTUZ, says President Mugabe's birthday parties associated with the 21st February movement are supposed to be a day to remember his date of birth, have outlived their purposes and should have been abandoned long back.
At best, Mugabe's birthday or 21st movement has outlived its purpose, and at worst, it has come to signify the suffering and extortion of money from poor villagers and civil servants.
Other Mashingo inhabitants like Samantha Guamatanga say the president's birthday celebrations has lost significance as struggling people are allegedly being forced to fund it. Villagers claim that the ruling party is forcing them and teachers to pay between $1 and $7 as part of their contributions for the Zimbabwean leader. Joe suggests that the president and his ruling party should stop holding these birthday bashes and channel the money raised towards assisting struggling children through the establishment of a scholarship fund, political school or university that will be named after him.
The birthday of Mugabe must add value to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is a country where the majority of the people, more than 85% of the people, are not employed. So it would have been better to use that money, for example, to invest in an institution that can at least equip Zimbabweans with basic living skills or life-saving skills. Or it could be important to perhaps even find a foundation for Mugabe, or a scholarship type of that would at least fund the students from that scholarship fund.
Under fire, Mashingo Provincial Chairperson Ezra Chadzamira, who heads the Mugabe Bash Fundraising Committee, says preparations for the event to be held at Great Zimbabwe Monuments next week are in top gear.
Preparations are at an advanced stage. We have organized the food, transport, and also other logistics are available to make our birthday successful for our president.
Chadzamira, who was suspended recently by Party National Political Commissar Sevia Kasukwere, could not be drawn to discuss the finer details of the event and local people's claims that they are being forced to pay for the birthday bash. The last birthday bash held in Victoria Falls cost about $1 million. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, I am Country Maramba.
The leader of the opposition People's Democratic Party, Tendai Biti, says the recent rally addressed by the country's first lady, Grace Mugabe, in Chiweshe, Mashonaland Central, marked a crucial turning point for Zimbabwe and the ruling ZANU-PF party. In an exclusive interview, Biti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the country is headed in the wrong direction.
I think that what happened in Chiweshe on Friday was a point. Either a turning point or a ticking point, but it was a defining point. It marked the apex of what some of us have always been saying, that only the chaos scenario will manifest in this country. A chaos scenario that will lead to eventual implosion. A chaos scenario in which we'll witness internal cannibalization within and outside the state. An implosion in which we'll see an unconstitutional usurpation of power in our country, and an implosion in which we will see an attempt to return Zimbabwe into the dark waters of ethnic tribal politics.
Is there a way that this chaos that you are talking about can be reversed?
Right now, we need an immediate soft landing before we go to any election. And the people who are talking about an election and demanding an election clearly don't understand the dynamics of what is happening now. This organic split, because all these factions are proximate to the Zekirocrats, are proximate to arms of war, this struggle and the battle will only be resolved by those that control the gun. Today it was the police hitting up war veterans. I'm telling you, tomorrow it will be soldiers hitting other people in tents. So we are heading clearly for this implosion, which is going to be a violent implosion. So in our view, the only thing that can create a soft landing is the National Transitional Authority, which I've spoken to before.
Mr. Abiti, you are also quoted in the Daily News as saying, I will never work with Tsvangirai. May you explain that?
I didn't read that article. I think what we will not accept, and I want to make it very clear, we will not accept a situation where someone is full of hubris and arrogance, and someone thinks that he is in the opposition with a God-given right to run this country, and that he is waiting just to govern this country. Some of us will not replace a Mugabe by another Mugabe. So we will work with all political parties on the basis of respect, inclusivity, and the acceptance that each party brings something to the table.
That was the leader of the opposition People's Democratic Party, Tendai Biti, speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. On Monday, we have an exclusive interview with Professor Love Momaduku, the leader of the opposition National Constitutional Assembly.
What is happening in ZANU-PF, although it affects everyone, is very, very, very positive in the sense that that party must just be destroyed. It must destroy itself. So if they are going to be putting on putting on the so-called self-destruction button, it will be very helpful. You need a very weak ZANU-PF for this country to get to a better situation.
Let's take a look at regional and international news. At least 7 people were killed and more than 40 others injured during clashes between youth from different ethnic communities sheltering at a United Nations compound in Makal, South Sudan. It's a visit the communist nation has waited on for nearly a century, just 14 months after ordering the restoration of diplomatic ties with Cuba. President Barack Obama will be the first sitting American president to travel to Havana in nearly 90 years. Pope Francis injected himself into the U.S. presidential race Thursday, suggesting Republican frontrunner Donald Trump is not Christian enough because of his proposal to build a massive wall on the southern U.S. border with Mexico to keep out migrants headed to the United States. Police in Uganda briefly arrested presidential candidate Kizza Besigye after he tried to enter a house he said was being used for rigging the national elections. And finally, the White House says President Barack Obama has started the process to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. As mentioned earlier on, the Tendai Biti-led People's Democratic Party is calling for the setting up of a transitional authority before the holding of the next general elections. The party argues that it won't be tenable to hold an election without first cleaning up various institutions like the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission and related bodies that play a critical role creating a democratic state. For Perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with Obet Gudu, MDCT spokesperson, and Jacob Mafume of the People's Democratic Party, who says a national transitional authority is the only way of resolving Zimbabwe's current political crisis.
Look, we started as the People's Democratic Party led by Tendai Biti. We started at the top of the Grand Coalition. We are happy that people like Gudu, Walshman, and so forth have come round to the concept of the Grand Coalition that we were talking about. We are now giving them another process of top leadership. We need a transitional government because this government cannot run an election. They cannot even provide water for 10 kilometers. They cannot sit in a cabinet meeting to agree on anything. They cannot fund bonuses. They cannot fund anything. So they will not be able to fund an election. Ministers are being cleared and so forth. The government is clear that in itself when it is having a meeting. So let's have a transitional government where we talk this business and remove the toxicity. Once we remove the toxicity, then we can talk about these other things. It's a very clear and elementary roadmap that should be understood by all and sundry.
Yes, Gibbs, we don't want to rush and talk about positions to say, let's have a transitional government. You can see that some of our colleagues, with due respect to them, they know that they are small, with due respect. They know that they don't have the numbers. That's why they are quick to say, let's have a government, because they want to get positions. But we are saying we believe in regional politics. Let the people of Zimbabwe, the sons and daughters of the soil, let them tell us what they want to do. That's why President Tsvangirai and us, the leadership, we are going from place to place, province to province. It's comparing notes, hearing what the people say. We are not just going to rush to say we want positions, so let's have a transitional authority. Let us hear what the people want. With respect, there's no thought leadership to say let's have a transitional authority, because they know they're too small. And they want to rush to get positions. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
You have a right to respond, Mr. Mafume.
Look, it's not about position. If this happened in Burkina Faso, we give people who will not run again.
I mean, Burkina Faso is hardly a good example. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Traditional, there was the same environment in Burkina Faso. Like the Tombrari had been a dictator for a long time. And when they removed him, they put a transitional government and said that people needed to prepare for election. Everyone knows that this government cannot run a free and fair election. Only a fool can do the same thing many times and expect a different result. They will just hook up the figures. They will not go back to count the vote people who have voted. They will simply sit in a room somewhere and say so and so got 2 million, so and so got 1.5 million. That is what they did the last time. And we cannot put ourselves at the mercy of such a process again. We need to come up with a new platform that will be able to deal with elections in a civilized manner. That is all we are saying. We don't want any position. There will be positions to be shared by law when things are done properly. But this way, if you just rush into another election controlled by ZANU-PF, you will lose and you will lose to a total.
Your last word, Mr. Kudu.
All we are saying as the MDC led by Morgan Tsvangirai, let the children of Zimbabwe, the sons and daughters of the soil, continue to compel us to collaborate. We are ready to work with any opposition political party as long as we have the same value, the same mission, i.e. creating a democratic Zimbabwe which will respect the rule of law, a democratic Zimbabwe which will not only respect the constitution, but which will also respect the principle of constitutionalism. We are looking at a situation here where the formation of a coalition, obviously, we are there. It's a process. Not an event. Let's not rush to say, let's have a transitional authority.
And that was Obed Gudu, MDCT spokesperson, and Jacob Mafume of the People's Democratic Party.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States joins the international community in expressing zero tolerance for female genital mutilation, cutting. This practice, said President Barack Obama, harms and holds back entire communities. It has no place in any community and undermines efforts to empower women and girls. At least 200 million women and girls alive today have undergone female genital mutilation. The latest figures from UNICEF show that nearly 70 million more girls than previously thought have been subject to this barbaric practice. Female genital mutilation cutting includes all procedures that involve the partial or total removal of external female genitalia or injury to the female genital organs for non-medical reasons. There is no excuse for such blatant human rights violations of women and girls. As President Obama said, just because this is a tradition in some places does not make it right. This practice is harmful and therefore wrong wherever it occurs. That's why the U.S. has funded programming to combat female genital mutilation and cutting in places like Guinea. At home, the United States has criminalized the transport of girls to undergo female genital mutilation, worked with religious leaders and community-based organizations to raise awareness, especially in some immigrant communities where the pressures to engage in this practice remain, and provided grant opportunities for domestic, non-governmental organizations implementing innovative prevention strategies. The United States stands with communities at home and around the globe, working to prevent female genital mutilation and cutting. We call on girls and their families, teachers, health workers, community and religious leaders, and government officials to act together to make a difference, said President Obama. It's time to put an end to this harmful practice and to allow communities everywhere to meet their full potential by enabling women and girls to meet theirs.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe's two top soccer clubs, Highlanders and Dynamos, have hired international coaches in an effort to boost their chances of winning this year's Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye has more details.
Highlanders have hired Dutch coach Elroy Akbe, who arrived in Bulawayo early this week and met with team officials for a detailed brief on his mission. Akbe says he's happy to be in Zimbabwe, where he will be with the Bulawayo Giants for a two-year contract, although it can be expanded.
I'm very happy to hear because I was very excited to start to work for work. Highlanders is a big club.
The club's chief executive officer, Ndumiso Gumede, says the new coach has been monitoring the Highlanders squad on the training field.
Went and saw the boys practicing.
Gumede is optimistic that the coach will do his best for the club, which has been struggling on the field of play in the last few years.
He must have had something special for my executives to decide to take him.
Akbe will be assisted by former Highlanders player Amini Somapiri and former technical advisor Cosmas Zulu, who were called in last year to save the club from relegation after Bosso fired gopher Bongani Mafu. Highlanders last won the Premier Soccer League title in 2006 under coach Metembe Ndlovu, and many are questioning if this new coach will bring back the trophy to Bulawayo this season. At the same time, Dynamo's Dimbare fans say they are looking forward to the new season when new coach Paulo Jorge Silva of Brazil will showcase his talent and assist in bringing the championship back to the club. The Glamour Boys surrendered the Premier Soccer League title last year to Chicken Inn, affectionately known as the Gamecocks, after dominating the championship for a couple of years. Dimbare fan Fabian Mahembe says he is impressed that the new coach has indicated he's hiring three players on a free loan from Europe that are expected to boost the current team.
I am quite impressed with the work ethic that this guy is bringing to Dynamo. Already he has announced that he's hiring three players from Europe. This is a good sign, and this is also a good development to our local soccer. Let's give him a time, then we can catch him later.
Mahembe adds that this year Dimbare will lift the coveted Zimbabwe Premier Soccer League title.
We think this will bring a lot of experience in our club, and it will actually help us in regaining the lost ground that we lost last year in the league.
The Harare side has already started preparing for the new season, which kicks off within a few weeks. Some critics say the two clubs may be draining their resources through hiring foreign coaches instead of locals. It is understood that a Zimbabwean bank is understood to be paying salaries and allowances for these foreign coaches. It remains to be seen whether the two giants will rise from their slumber following the lackluster performances last year. Will the new coaches who replaced indigenous mentors meet the grade? Only time will tell. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, this is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about the current political crisis in ZANU-PF and its impact on Zimbabwe. Now, we recap today's top stories. The situation is tense but calm in Harare, where war veterans clashed with police yesterday. This comes at a time when a ZANU-PF youth leader is accusing the media of funding factionalism in the ruling ZANU-PF party. President Robert Mugabe's lavish birthday party is set to go ahead despite serious public criticism. And opposition People's Democratic Party leader Tendai Biti says the recent high-charged rally addressed by First Lady Grace Mugabe was a turning point for Zimbabwe. And that's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 with Ntunga Milinkomo for the Ndebele Bulletin. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, and have yourself a lovely and restful weekend. Good night.